Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 14, Text 39. Just make sure. So this verse is in prose, which means that there's no real meter to it. It's just kind of, you just say it. So I'll just say the verse and then we'll go right into the word for word. Yati dam yoganu sanam navaditat avar run ate yan nashta danda munaya upasam shila uparata mana samag vaga chahanti. Whew, try and come up with a meter for that one. Yat, which, idam, this ultimate abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yoga anusasanam, only to be achieved by practicing devotional service. Na, not. Va, either. Etat, this path of liberation. Avar, avar, yudate, obtain. Yat, therefore. Nyasta, danda, persons who have given up envying others. Munaya, saintly persons. Upasamashila, who are now situated in a most peaceful existence. Uparata atmana, who have control over the mind and senses. Samavag chati, very easily attained. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Saintly persons who are friends to all living entities have a peaceful consciousness. They have controlled their senses and minds, and they easily attain the path of liberation, the path back to Godhead. Being unfortunate and attached to the miserable material conditions, a materialistic person cannot associate with them. Purport. The great saint Judd Bodit described both the miserable condition and the means to get out. The only way out of it is association with devotees, and this association is very easy. Although unfortunate people also get this opportunity due to their great misfortune, they cannot take shelter of pure devotees, and consequently, they continuously suffer. Nonetheless, this Krishna consciousness movement insists that everyone take to this path by adopting the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The preachers of Krishna consciousness go from door to door to inform people how they can be relieved from the miserable conditions of material life. As stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Guru Krishna Prasadipaya Bhakti Lata Bij, by the mercy of Krishna and Guru, one can get the seed of devotional service. If one is a little intelligent, he can cultivate Krishna consciousness and be freed from the miserable conditions of material life. Om gana tinam nisha ganandana salakaya takshu uminatamina tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri chaitanya mano bistam stapita yena bhutali swayam lupa kadami anatati swapatantikam. Jai shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nitinanda shri arvaita gadadhar shivasari gora bhaktavanda. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this fifth canto is quite a heavy canto. It basically destroys any hope you have to enjoy the material world. There's no way after this. If you can make it past the fifth canto and not give up on life, then you're doing well so far. Because this fifth canto, Judd Bodit, he it's just like a stone. He just accepts everything, right? And It's described about the forest of material enjoyment. It's described about the city of nine gates. It's so much nectar in there that helps us get on the off the bodily concept and to help us get back to the real idea, which is to surrender to Krishna and chant the holy name. Prabhupada here in this purport discusses about the preachers of Krishna consciousness, right? One time, Rameshwar, he said, preaching Krishna consciousness is in the mood of the gopis. And all the devotees were like, sahajiya, sahajiya. And then they asked Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, yes, this is true. This is the mood of the gopis, that bringing people closer to Krishna. This is the mood of the gopis. You see in the 10th canto in the Song of the gopis are glorifying who? They're glorifying that person who spreads this Krishna consciousness all over, right? That's who they're glorifying, because this is the way to win the mercy and favor of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sometimes we take for granted about how wonderful this Krishna consciousness movement is. We take for granted the devotees. We take for granted the process. And like Prabhupada saying in his purport, we don't take advantage of being in association with saintly people, right? This is an immature level of sadhu sangha. You know, from Shraddha all the way to Anartana Vritti, you know, that's Kanishtha right there. That's the immature process of devotional service, where, you know, we only appreciate some devotees, but not all. We only like some aspects of Krishna consciousness, not all of them, right? We only do the bare minimum that we need to do to survive, right? But then once one passes Anartana Vritti and one enters Nishtha, then Nishtha is to be considered to be Madhyamadikari, right? One's firm, one's starting to develop maturity, you know? One has firm faith, right? And then after that, well, that's Uttama, because one has matured, right? So Prabhupada's saying here in this purport about how unfortunate people also get this opportunity, but their great misfortune is that they do not take advantage of associating with people, with devotees, with Vaishnavas. Sadhu sangye, savasastre hoya, lava mantra savasangye, sadhu sivi hoy. That even by a moment's association with a pure devotee, one's life is complete, it says. Right? So, what do we do about this? Right? Well, Prabhupada's saying here that we should go door to door, you know, to inform people about how they're suffering this material world. Because people are in lots of ignorance that they're suffering. You know, recently I was in Kazakhstan, and I had food poisoning, and I went to the hospital. And, if you've ever been to an India hospital, well, Kazakhstan is, like, way below that standard, you know. They put me in the ambulance. I started vomiting. They threw me out of the ambulance for vomiting in the ambulance. Then I got there, and then they laid me down on a mattress filled with dry blood all over it, and then they put a needle that was dragging on the floor into my arm, and so much suffering going on. And the lady was just like, it was no big thing, just doing this, you know. I was freaking out, you know, but she was just no big thing about this. And then she was saying, yeah, what's the big thing, you know? Everybody here in this hospital, is something wrong with them, and you don't see them complaining about the needle going on the floor, you know? This is the material world, you know? There's so many sick people in the world, right? And they're still not complaining about the needle of Maya, still injecting them with more material aspirations, more enjoyment of the senses, right? But then the Vaishnav, you know, the devotee of Krishna, he comes and he says, no, you can't use a dirty needle to stick into somebody's arm. You can't use material opulence. You can't use sense gratification to become happy in this life. No, we give you something even nicer. We give you Krishna consciousness, where we engage all the senses into service of Krishna. The devotees are actually the biggest enjoyers of all, right? We enjoy prasad, we enjoy dancing, we enjoy everything for Krishna. And in this way, we go home, go back to Godhead. Because this illusionary energy is so difficult, right? It's very difficult. And I was reading in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, about how when Gopakumar, right before he goes back to the spiritual world, back to Godhead, he comes to Mayadevi, and Mayadevi is performing arti worship to Krishna, but in the Krishna in the form of who? Mohini Murti, right? So this beautiful form of Krishna as a woman. And then they ask Gopakumar, do you want to stay and do the puja? And he's like, no, I'm out of here, you know? And he runs away and goes back and goes up to the spiritual world. So this is how it is. We have to want to run back to Krishna, not like jog, not like, you know, little like turtles. We have to want to go back, and we have to want to drag as many conditioned souls as possible back to Godhead, right? As many as possible. Right? Because this is what devotees do. Devotees aren't satisfied with just sitting in an empty temple by themselves. No, devotees want to take and engage so many people. And people are ready to take it. Me and Govinda Maharaj in Kazakhstan, we met the deputy of the religious ministry of religion, right? And we were in dhotis, and we were talking with him and things like this. And out of nowhere, this man said, can you bless my baby son that was just born? A Muslim man, you know, asking us bad Hare Krishnas to bless his child. And we did. We said Hare Krishna and hit him in the head with our japa beads and, you know, did things like this. You see, people want Krishna. People want to come in contact with Krishna. People are just begging out there for just the moment that Gornitai come and knock on the door and say, come and join the Harinam party. Right? They're just waiting for the opportunity. Just waiting. So we can either be Kripanas or Brahmanas. Right? A Brahmana is not just somebody who has a string that puts it around his ear when he goes to the toilet and, you know. No, this is not, a Brahmana is not just this. A Brahmana is also somebody who disseminates transcendental knowledge. This is the real meaning of Brahmana. Right? One who gives transcendental knowledge to others. One who connects people to Krishna. One who does whatever it takes to free people from the cycle of birth, disease, old age, and death. Right? I like purports like this when Prabhupada talks about preaching, because I'm not such a philosophical guy at all, but I can understand that there's a necessity to spread Krishna consciousness. There's a necessity to every day reconnect to Krishna through doing something new, whether it's preaching, whether it's chanting more, hearing more. All these things are meant to give us shakti to be able to change people's hearts. It's like book distribution. Prabhupada says, book distribution is simply convincing people to surrender to the Yuga Dharma. That's what he says about book distribution. It's just a means to convince people to surrender, that we have something that is higher and we have something that tastes much better. Right? So nice. I love this fifth canto. It's my favorite canto, actually. It is. As heavy as it is, it really is my favorite canto, because it really makes you look at yourself in the mirror and challenge yourself. And challenge, am I being a burden on the shoulder of my spiritual master, or am I being a shoulder for my spiritual master to place his burden upon? Right? And cantos and purports like this and sections of the Bhagavatam like this are showing us that we have to be a shoulder for the burden to go on. We can't just ignore what is given to us. And to show appreciation. It's just like, how do you show appreciation to a loved one? It's not just simply by words, you know? It's by actions. Right? You have a man and a woman, you know, they're even non-devotees, you know, they want to show each other love. You know, what do? They buy gifts for each other. They, you know, it's material, it's mundane, but they're trying to show how much they have affection for somebody, right? So as devotees, just saying, I love you, Prabhupada, I love you, Guru Maharaj, I love you, Krishna, well, this is not enough. We have to show by actions. Actions speak louder than words, right? Especially We have such a powerful month this month, you know. This Adimas, this Purusottamamas. It's complete nectar to make spiritual advancement. It's complete nectar to keep the fire going. The drive, the determination to go deeper and deeper into our Krishna consciousness. Deeper and deeper. And Rupa Goswami says, just as one cannot measure the depth of an ocean, one cannot measure the depth of the nectar of the transcendental pastimes of Krishna. It's as deep as you want to go, right? It's as deep as you feel that you want to take it, right? And what happens from this? The deeper we go, the more the seed is sprouted, the more the kripa is watered, as it says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The expert gardener waters the seed of bhakti with the process of hearing and chanting about Krishna. Narottam Das Thakur says in Prema Bhakti Chandrika that the product of Shravanam and Kirtanam is Smaranam, is remembering. Right? This whole Srimad Bhagavatam is meant to, it's a systematic study to bring us to the level of seeing Krishna's smiling face. Right? But if you look, anybody know what the title is to the ninth canto to Srimad Bhagavatam? It's liberation. Prabhupada says you should be liberated by the time you finish it. Right? So it's just not, you know, stories just to amuse us and pass our days. It's actually meant to purify the heart so that we can come to the level of seeing Krishna, so that we can come to the level of seeing the super soul in every living entity in the material world, that we can develop compassion, we can develop humility. Gopa Kumar says in Brihat Bhagavatamrita that real humility is seeing every other living entity more advanced than you, and you being the servant of every other living entity. So this is a lifetime opportunity here. Right? So many lifetimes we wasted in this material world. So many lifetimes we were born. So many lifetimes we took birth sometimes as dogs. We took birth sometimes as cats, as mice, as snakes, as so many, over 6 million living entities, to come to this point of the life, a human body. Not that we're any different from an animal. It's just that we have a little bit better consciousness. So we're the exact same as animals. We fight. We have sex life. You know, all these things, we're the same. We cry, they cry. But what separates us? The consciousness. And that's what this human body is meant for. For taking advantage and going home and going back to Godhead as fast as possible. Right? Not saying, I'll wait till next life, or when I get older, I will take it more seriously. Because you might not make it to that older age. It's a fact. I was in Russia, I think, last year or the year before. I can't remember which year. And our airplane landed. We got our suitcases. When we walked out of the airport, the whole airport exploded. It was a terrorist attack. It was me, Madhava, and Govinda Maharaj. And the whole place blew up, and so many people died. So many people thought, I'll live another day. I'm still young. I still have tons of opportunity in this world. And they waste and waste and waste. Fall deeper and deeper into the lap of that witch Maya. Again taking birth. Again having to be born. Again having to poop in their own pants. Again having to face all the disappointments of life, of your first girlfriend rejecting you, your first job getting fired from all the hurt and anguish that comes with being a conditioned soul in this world. Right? Who wants to experience that again? Right? Dhanavir Maharaj said the most funniest thing one time. He said, it says that the spiritual master comes back, but I'm not coming back to this place. I'm staying in the spiritual world. There's no way I am going to come back here again. this place is too hellish for me. And even Srila Prabhupada didn't want to come. The famous story about how Krishna asked Srila Prabhupada, he said, I want you to go down to the earth planet and preach. And Prabhupada said, ooh, I don't want to. I don't like austerities, you know. So I'd rather stay here. And then Krishna said, just go down and write books, and I will arrange everything for you. This material world is hellish. That's why it says once the soul goes back to the spiritual world, he never comes back because he never wants to experience this life again. Everything based on bodily conception. Male, female, gay, heterosexual, Muslim, Jewish, white, black, all these different things based on bodily concepts meant to keep us away from diving deeper and deeper into spiritual consciousness. To dive deeper and deeper into loving exchanges amongst each other on spiritual levels. Prabhupada says in the Nectar of Instruction, he says that he created this ISKCON so that people can come and engage in the six loving exchanges that are as described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And then, if you think about it, what's the one that we all like? The one that says gift receiving and gift giving. We like the gift receiving more than actually the gift giving. We like to get things. But actually, it's the greatest thing is to give is Krishna. There is nothing greater than this in this world than to give Krishna. Give the holy name. Give prasadam. All of this, Jai Shishirada Gopinath Ki Jai. To give people the beautiful deity form of Radha Gopinath. This is what the life is meant for. Not that this is my Radha Gopinath and nobody else can see them, but freely giving the beautiful faces of Radha Gopinath to others. Not just giving, but begging. Begging. Right? We're in the mood of begging. We beg for blessings, and we beg people to come closer to Krishna. Right? This is our goal in this life, to become a beggar and simply pray every day, my dear Lord, even though I'm devoid of any kind of good qualities, any kind of spiritual knowledge, somehow please bestow your mercy upon me so that I may go back to Godhead in this life, so that I may understand who you really are. Such a wonderful prayer to make. And this month is such a special month because this month, if you bring one person to Krishna, it's like bringing 10,000 to Krishna. Everything is totally magnified this month. Totally magnified. The gift of giving Krishna is glorified over and over and over and over and over again in Sastra. The Srimad Bhagavatam, the 12th canto, it describes the glories of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And what's it describe? It describes the glories of the person that bestows a gift of the Srimad Bhagavatam onto another person. Right? So many areas in our Sastra are glorifications of giving Krishna to others. Right? So many. It's endless. So we just have to let go a little bit of the false ego. Develop more sincerity. We're sincere. We're sitting in here where we haven't ran for the door. You know, we have faith that nobody's going to poison us or give us drugs here or anything. But it doesn't stop there. We have to keep developing that sincerity. And that's what the idea of sadhana bhakti is. It's to purify the heart more and more and more. That's why it's so important to have some solid foundation. You know, instead of some weak foundation. So that when something comes, it just gets washed away. Right? Back to basics. Krishna Consciousness 101. Waking up early, chanting japa, reading Prabhupada's books, engaging in devotional service. Krishna Consciousness 101. Because this gives us the realizations needed. Right? This whole idea nowadays of one has to know their Siddha Swarup and one has to know who they are. You know, Mark, you're a peacock in the spiritual world, so start going around acting like a peacock. And this is the idea of Raganuga Bhakti, but it's actually, the giving of Krishna is actually the highest form of Rag, the highest form of Raganuga. I was reading this in Vaisheshika Prabhu's book that he's writing. He was making this point, that this is real Raganuga Bhakti. Spontaneously giving Krishna to other people, not worrying about what they look like, who they are, what language they speak. This is the real nectar, right? And it's available for every one of us. We just have to take advantage of it. So how fortunate are we that we can sit here today under the shelter of Srila Prabhupada, and how we can have such a wonderful system set up for us to ensure advancement. Right? Prabhupada said, chant 16 rounds, follow the four regular principles, do devotional service, and you will go back to Godhead in this life. I guarantee it. Nobody else has made that promise but Srila Prabhupada. No one else. We have a surefire way of going home. You can't lose. A guaranteed path to the spiritual world, to play with Krishna, to engage in the pastimes. A guaranteed, foolproof way. And we see it. We see the change coming in our bodies. Right? I was reading in Chaitanya Shikshamrita, I was listening to a lecture from Mahanini Maharaj, and he was saying that the prayers of Lord Chaitanya, that actually each verse corresponds with one aspect of the path of bhakti. How the first verse, it corresponds with Shraddha. The second verse corresponds with Bhajana Kriya. Right? Everything comes together to lift us out of the material suffering. So, I mean, I don't really know what more to say, except take advantage of it. And make it a vrat for either this month or for Kartik. Make it a Kartik vrat to give somebody Krishna every day, a new person. Make it a part of your sadhana. Prabhupada said, book distribution should be a part of our sadhana, meaning giving people Krishna should be part of our sadhana, introducing people to Krishna, and not envying others. It's pretty relevant, I think, that it says persons who have given up envying others. This is what it says in the verse translation. Giving up envying others. This is needed. Because sometimes we see people and we're like, wow, they have so much money, they have so much this, but actually they're really suffering so much. I think on the marathon we saw so many people, me and Madhu Gopal on the December Christmas marathon, we would try and stop these people in business suits in downtown Brussels. Rich people, and they wouldn't even stop. I have everything. You know? And just suffering like anything. They have everything, but yet they still walk around like this, looking angry all day. But they have everything. We have everything. And we just have to take a chance, take a calculated risk for Krishna? Allow these pastimes to penetrate in our hearts? Because it's described in the Puranas that real Chanamrita is not just what washes the deity's feet. The real Chanamrita is words spoken by the pure devotee. Of course, I mean, I'm not a pure devotee, but I'm just repeating what Prabhupada said. So words coming from the pure devotee enter the right ear of the listener and immediately penetrate the heart and rid the heart of all material desires. It's just that then we get more material desires. We never stop. So I think I'll stop here because I'm a little sick. I had food poisoning, so I'm a little recovering still. And I just make one last point, which is really take advantage of what we have here and what has been given to us by Prabhupada. The days of Prabhupada disciples being around are coming to an end. Right? We're on the last maybe 15, 20 years left with them. Right? I mean, I know one Prabhupada disciple in San Diego. She's 97 years old. And I said to her, "What do you want to do in your next life?" And she said, "I don't want to go back home. I want to take birth as a book distributor in ISKCON." It's a very far out woman. She's really cool, you know? So, take advantage of this. Take advantage of all the nectar that is given to us so that we can really make a determined effort to get out of this stupid material world, right? Where you go back to Krishna. You don't have to worry about email. You don't have to worry about Facebook or Instagram or MySpace or meetings or this or that. The only thing you have to worry about is serving the Lord. So I'll end here. Any questions, comments, anything? Yes, Tulsi Priya? Hare Krishna. Well, I mean, the glories of the holy name, they're endless. I mean, even Ananta Sesh, with all of his mouths, still can't speak the glories of the holy name. I mean, it's the Yuga Dharma, you know, Kalikalera Namarupa Krishna Avatar Namahoitahaya Sava Jagat Nishtara. That in this age of Kali, that the holy name is the incarnation of Krishna. And simply by chanting this holy name, one associates directly with him, right? I mean, yeah, we take full advantage. We don't appreciate it as much sometimes, right? Until we really need it, until we're like about to die or we're in a very difficult situation. Then we're like, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You know, like driving in India. Anybody who's been to India who's driven from Delhi to Vrindavan knows that that's probably the best time you chant your japa, because you don't know because it's just the driving there. You know, you don't know. Or from Calcutta to Mayapur. You know, these are the times I chant my best japa. Because the drivers are completely mad, and even though you say, shanti, 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 they're like, no problem, and then they just go however they want. So it's just the nature of us. You know, what is this saying? Familiarity breeds contempt. We become too familiar with chanting, right? And also because we're so scared of chanting more than 16 rounds. You know, I've come to the conclusion after being in ISKCON for quite some time that we talk so much about the negative aspects of like making offenses to the holy name. We stress the 10 offenses so much that we scare people to chant more than 16 rounds. Right? Even though Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in Jiva Dharma that the way to purify one's chanting is to chant as much as possible. Is to keep on chanting, keep on chanting, keep on chanting. But I've asked devotees in my traveling, you know, how many rounds are you chanting? And they say 16, Prabhu, and that's it. Why? Because I don't want to commit any more offenses to chanting than I've already committed 16 of them. But to dive into the chanting, one has to chant. It's not just like the famous, like Srila Prabhupada said, when he finished a round and he said, 16 rounds, now I can do whatever the hell I want. And Prabhupada said this, and it's not true. 16 rounds is the minimum. Is the minimum. Right? If you look at all of our very advanced devotees within our movement, none of them chant the minimum number of rounds. Right? None of them. They've all chanted more and more and more. And from this, they've become so purified. They take an association of people who chant the holy name in a very pure state, like Govinda Maharaj. You know, he was taught how to do kirtan by Akinchana Krishnadas Babaji, Prabhupada's godbrother, and who Prabhupada said was a pure devotee. And you can see in Vrindavan, they have his samadhi, and they called him Mom Baba, because he never said anything. He only chanted japa. Even when you were talking with him, he still chanted japa. Right? So the glories of the holy name, we have to take the hard way of chanting, which means an honest approach to the holy name, which means we know if we're not chanting a round in the right consciousness. Instead of counting that round, chanting that round over again. You know? Because that round could be the round to push us past anartha nivritti. Right? I mean, we see the glories of the holy name present everywhere. Right? We go out on Harinam, and even you get the drunk people out there go, Haribol, Haribol. Right? And then there's a story about a person in, I think it was New Zealand, who played a video game. And in the video game, if you ran over a certain amount of people, then a Harinam party came out. And it was made by non-devotees, too. And a Harinam party came out, and they would yell, Gauranga, Gauranga, and then you'd run them over, too. And all the time, this guy would go, get the Gaurangas, get the Gaurangas, and then he became a devotee. You know, so what is the mercy of the holy name? You know? I mean, Lord Chaitanya delivered everyone, Jagai and Madai. And Prabhupada explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that this world is filled with Jagai and Madais. The holy name knows no distinction between male and female, advanced and not advanced. It just knows that when the soul comes in contact with it, that bliss is felt. And you see it on Harinam. You see it in kirtans. You see it. How the holy people will be in such bad moods and the holy name will just lift them out of it. And we have such beautiful Gornitai deities here, you know, to chant for. But the holy name, everything is contained in the holy name. Nam, Rup, Guna, Lila, everything is contained. But to understand it, we have to chant more. And to sound like Madhava, you know, with all your heart, you know, we have to chant like with all of our heart. We have to give our heart to each mantra. Right? Our japa beads are deities, and we have to feed them every day. Nam. Right? That's how our meditation should be. So I hope that's okay. Alles okay? Was gut? Yeah? So, any other questions or statements? Yes, Hari Bhakti Mataji? No, we should see it. Because every living entity in this world is a Vaishnav. The difference is they've forgotten they're a Vaishnav. So what's a Vaishnav's whole duty? What do we sign at the end of every letter? Your servant. The Vaishnav's duty is to serve. So the way to really see this is to not focus on the negative aspects of people. Like, for example, right? Not to focus on the negative aspects that, oh, you know, a guy comes in for a tour, and then right after the tour, he goes out and smokes a cigarette. And thinking, oh, what an idiot. comes in here, and then as soon as he leaves, he just goes and smokes a cigarette. But seeing seeing him as wow, even though he's suffering, you know, even though he's addicted so much, he still came in here, took darshan of Krishna, had a little prasad. What a nice man. You know? He came all the way from wherever he is just to come see Krishna. Instead of, sometimes I live here and sometimes I don't even go to the temple room. You know? So it's about not wanting to be them, but it's about looking at the good in them rather than looking at the bad. Focusing on the positive. Because once we say, wow, look at this rascal, he smells like onions and garlic and meat and all of this, then we put ourselves on a better position than them. Then our false ego is already big. Then we're, look how big I am, look how good I am. I'm here surrendered, following four regs and these. You know? This is not what we want, but this happens from focusing on the bad. From not seeing the good in people. You know? And seeing as it's my duty to serve them, to connect them, and encourage. That's how. Not that necessarily we have to, wow, I want to be that guy that smokes a cigarette. But just like that he came here, drove far away to come here. He was so eager to see Krishna that he even paid money to come and see Krishna. I mean, that's a nicer way to look at it. A more humble way to look at it, I feel. You know? So. Any other questions? Comments? Going once? Twice? Well, it's Adimas. If you haven't bought a... Yes. Yes, Hari Bhakti. Yeah. Yeah, but Prabhupada says it right there. Tavidhi panipasthinam panisana seva sevana upadishanti tejanam jinanivastatva darshana. It's right there. Humble. Submissive. Not challenging. You know, like this is this one story about how a Sanskrit professor came to Srila Prabhupada and was demanding the meaning of a word. I can't remember the word right now. And Prabhupada was telling him the Krishna conscious meaning. And the man kept on saying, no, I want the Sanskrit definition of it. And Prabhupada just kept on explaining. And he said, no, I want that. And Prabhupada got so fried and so upset. He said, you want a Sanskrit teacher? And then the devotees threw the man out of the room, right? Did he take full advantage of that association with that pure devotee? No, he was in a challenging mood, so therefore, it's there. His anarthas didn't allow him to take advantage of it, to accept the mercy. That's why. Okay, so I just humbly request everyone in this wonderful month to, if you haven't already, purchase a Srimad Bhagavatam set and give it as a gift to somebody, because it's just like giving 10,000 of them. And in this month it says specifically, anybody who gives the gift of a Srimad Bhagavatam set will go back to Godhead, will be liberated, go back to Godhead. So, we have plenty of Srimad Bhagavatam sets. Come see us, Yadarani, myself, and Mark. And take the advantage. Let's all take advantage of this, starting right now. And go home back to Godhead. So, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda ki jai.